Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Terence. You're a star. Wow, it's good to see you guys. The name above every name. Do you know what Ryan means? Little king. My kingdom's very small. It's wall-to-wall carpet, my kingdom. But I'm not here in my name. It's the King of Kings. Isn't it exciting to be together in Jesus' name? Who decorated the building, by the way? Amazingly. Awesome job, guys. It's looking beautiful. But you know what's so amazing? We know the building isn't the physical building, it's the church. And to see your faces again is just so amazing. You know, although we've been apart, to come back and see you. 16 years here for Val and I was so formative in our growth in the Lord. And we love this place and we love all of you. And it was a great privilege to be a leader for 13 years, pastor for four. And yeah, we miss you guys very much. So it's so lovely to see you. And you know, when I look at you guys, you realize God's got good things ahead. The candle of hope that Lynn lit earlier, there's great hope ahead for this church. And you are part of that. So bless you all. So, Advent, it's exciting, isn't it? Guess where I was this week gone?
At the seaside.
Yeah, I was in a silent retreat. Don't laugh, Paul Davey. I was at a silent retreat at Lee Abbey in North Devon, and Val said amen, hallelujah. So, and it was an amazing time just to be with the Lord, walking, praying. And I know it won't suit anyone, but if you've ever thought about it, to go and just be in his presence is an amazing thing. So I had an amazing week away, and I came back Saturday and thought about what I should share. And you'll see probably in the message that I share, there is a link to silence as well. So it was a week, and that was great. But I did hear about a chap called John. And John actually wanted to do it seriously. He wanted to go to a silent monastery, and I mean full time. So he enrolled in this silent monastery, and he met the abbot for the first time. And the abbot said, "Welcome, Brother John. There are not many rules here, but obviously silence is one of them. But the good news is, every year you make, every anniversary, you can come into my office as abbot, and I'll give you the opportunity to share two words. How does that sound?" And John's smart, so he doesn't say, "That sounds great." He kept quiet and just nodded. So he said, "Good start, Brother John. You know, I think you'll do well here." Anyway, he embarks on his first year in this retreat. At the end of the first year, the anniversary's up, and he goes into the abbot's office, and the abbot says, "It's been your first year, Brother John, so you've got two words to share with us. What are those two words?" And he says, "Cold food." He says, "Cold food? Oh, Brother John, we're terribly sorry. We'll have a word with the cook and try to do better for your second year." So anyway, he starts off the second year and he's moving through. Amazingly, he makes it to his second anniversary. And once again, he goes into the abbot's office and the abbot says, 2 years, well done, Brother John. Two more words, what do you want to share? And he says, "Hard bed." And he says, "Oh, Brother John, I'll have a word with the facilities team. There's a sale on at Benson's Beds. And just to say, we don't support any particular manufacturer and distributor of beds above others, but Benson's Beds, I'm sure, is very good." So he said, "We'll go off and see if we can get you something." So anyway, he gets this bed and he's moving towards his third anniversary. It's been a tough year, but he's called in. He makes it to the third anniversary. And the abbot says, "Congratulations, Brother John. What is it you'd like to say?" And he says, "I quit." And the abbot looks at him and says, "Well, I'm not surprised, because all you've done since you got here is complain." So I guess some journeys are tougher than others. And journey, I think, is a very appropriate thought as we enter this Advent season, because our life is a series of journeys, isn't it? We go through physical journeys, we go through emotional journeys, spiritual journeys, we go through journeys in our career, we go through journeys in our family life, and we certainly go through journeys through the ups and downs of lockdowns, yeah? I won't say too much more about that, you're in a good place, but we know life is a series of journeys, and Advent is a journey. Advent means coming, it means arriving, and there's that anticipation of the Advent season that Jesus Christ came. And we get very excited. I love Christmas. Summer, do you love Christmas?
Yes.
Verity, do you love Christmas?
Absolutely.
I love Christmas. But as exciting as it is, the thought of Jesus coming as a baby, you know what we really get excited about? It's a foretaste that he came as a baby, but when he comes again, it will be the second coming. And he will come in all of his glory and all of his majesty with all of the heavenly host and the angels, and he will be glorious. So there's a foretaste. And we look forward to the advent of the second coming. Either he'll come in all his glory, or he'll come and take us to glory. So it's a very exciting time. So Advent speaks of God's faithfulness in the past, his faithfulness now, but his future promises. And this candle represents hope, and hope is about those future promises. So it's an incredibly exciting time as we journey this Advent. And if you read the Christmas stories, it's a series of journeys, amazing journeys, the journeys of the Magi, the journeys of the angels, the journeys of the shepherds, Mary and Joseph's journey, and a childless couple called Elizabeth and Zachariah. And each one of these journeys is different. It's different in terms of time, of purpose, of people, of destinations. But there's one thing in common. They are all journeys of faith. Journeys of faith with the Lord. For some, like Herod, although he journeys, there's no spiritual growth. But for others, like Mary and Joseph, Zachariah and Elizabeth, this journey, these journeys change their lives. Journeys of faith. In fact, in the great chapter on faith, Hebrews 11, it's described as a journey, a faith journey. Listen to this, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. Isn't that an amazing thought? He was called and he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know the destination. And maybe as a church you haven't always known the destination, but you've kept going. And certain times in life we just keep going, don't we? We don't know the destination, and sometimes we just keep plodding along, one step in front of another, not knowing where we're ending up. We simply keep moving forward. But other times, you get that word, don't you? When you know you're making a decision to move in a particular direction, a particular calling, and that is exciting, isn't it? When you actually know God's calling you to something, it's exciting. However, it's also difficult. It's also difficult, especially because any journey involves change. If I take a journey, what's the first thing I need to do? If I'm going to take a step, if I'm going to go any further, what do I need to do? I need to leave behind where I was. Every step is a step of change. To move forward, you have to let go. As painful as it is, you have to let go to move forward. Sometimes it's really painful. There's times of grief when you know you've got to step forward, but you don't want to leave that person behind, and it's painful and it's difficult. But even good journeys involve change, and change is difficult. You have to leave things behind, and that's not always easy. Anyone here married? That's good to see. You have to leave behind your singleness to get married. You should be saying amen, hallelujah at that point. Your faces. For the benefit of those watching online, there wasn't a joy, but you have to leave behind your singleness, don't you, to step into marriage. For the youngsters here, you want to go to secondary school? You've got to leave behind primary school. Any parents here? If you want to be a parent, first you have to leave behind sleep, and you're going to lose a lot of money as well. You're going to leave a lot of money behind because your kids are going to spend it. But whatever it is, even good change, journeying means letting go, and that is not easy for us. Faith journeys are challenging. And the thing about faith is you don't need faith. If you can see something, do you? If you can see, taste, touch, smell something, you need no faith. As it says in Hebrews 11, 1, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. If you see, you don't need faith. The very thing about faith is it's having it when you don't see. And that's why on those journeys, we learn over time to trust Jesus if we journey with him, don't we? We learn when it's difficult, where we can't see, we trust him. And that's what Paul said. Paul said that in Philippians 4:12 when he says this, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Learned speaks of journey. Over a period of time, he learned that Christ was enough. It wasn't the absence of trouble that brought him peace. The presence of Jesus Christ in the midst of his trouble that brought him peace. So we journey learning that lesson, don't we, as we go along together with Jesus. So what a time for us to journey with Jesus than the run into Advent. Isn't it a perfect time to really be pressing in and following him? We're journeying with Jesus, but we're also journeying to Jesus. That's great, isn't it? Fantastic. But I want to look at a particular couple today that had a journey, an amazing journey, and that's Zechariah and Elizabeth. I did check what Chris spoke on, he didn't speak on this, otherwise I'd have been changing it all last minute. So we're safe. So they're a couple, and they're seemingly at the end of life's journey, yet they're about to embark on the most amazing season imaginable. And you know what it reminds us of? In every season there is purpose. In every season. You know Moses? Sidelined at 40. What happened at 80? He's the boss man. God had a plan for him even later in life. Every season we enter, however difficult, has purpose. And what we're going to see in Zach's and Liz's, I kind of know them well, Zach and Liz's journey is the fact that their journey to God is very different. And their journey with God is different. And that's an important lesson as we hear the reading in a moment from Terence. Because your children's walk will be different to you. Your spouses, your friends. And often your model of faith is different for other people. And it's understanding that they're different to you. And we have to allow people to walk at their own pace, in their own way. So, Terence, are you ready? Luke 1, verses 5 to 25. Round of applause for Terence. Just in case if it goes wrong, you've already got a clap, okay?
Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, starting from verse 5. The birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born.
Wow.
He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. The Lord will add his blessing to his word.
Amen. The word of God. Thank you, Terence. Powerful. Powerful. You know, for people living in Israel at the time of Jesus' birth, especially an older couple without children, it really was an advent of darkness. If you didn't have children to look after you in old age, you certainly wouldn't be looking at a time of hope, but a time of uncertainty, a time of fear. So they really are at a time of darkness, an advent of darkness. In addition, the very fact that Elizabeth didn't have a child at the time, many would have judged her that in some way she'd done something wrong or was punished by God. So she had that look when she passed, the mumbling in the corridors, in the shadows. And today this still happens. People can be judged for not having children, but a very difficult time. But God is about to break in an amazing way on their journey, because he's like that. It's phenomenal. She's not able to conceive because of her age, but she's chosen by God to have a son. And not just any son, I love this, but one who will be great in the sight of the Lord, verse 15. Do you know what Jesus says about John? When Jesus says this about your son, you know you're in the right place. Matthew 11:11. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not been anyone greater than John the Baptist. My goodness. God is coming himself. He's coming into the world he created as a baby. And John would be the one that would herald this amazing news to the world. It's an amazing event. In a moment, Elizabeth and Zechariah move from the shadows into the glorious light. And that's encouraging to us, because it encourages and reminds us that we have a God of breakthrough. Sometimes it's through the journey and it takes time for the breakthrough. But other times, in a moment, God breaks through in an amazing way. And some of you are going to experience that this Advent. You're going to see the fingerprint of God do something that you will know unequivocally is his hand. He's going to do something in your life or your children's life, in that relationship, whatever it is. You're going to see a moment like that with God, a suddenly moment. Others of you are going to see it in the life of your children or your spouse, someone you've been praying for. You're going to experience that type of moment. And we know that's true, because in this narrative it reminds us we have a God, and this church is filled with the presence of God and his Holy Spirit, and he wants to do something mighty. You're going to see him and you're going to acknowledge and glorify him. So look out for that time. This season is an exciting time for you as individuals and as a church. It was an exciting time for Zechariah. He's in the temple of God offering incense. And then an angel appears. Pretty cool moment. An angel appears. I love this. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer's been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son by you, and you are to call him John. He will be a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Wow. He's a priest in his community. He's part of the tribe of Aaron. He's entitled to actually minister in the temple of God. In fact, there were so many descendants of Aaron, they were divided into groups. Each group would only serve in the temple 2 weeks every year. And even then, they would cast lots to see which of them could actually go in and give the offering. No priest would do it more than once in their lifetime because it was such a great honour. And many would never, ever have the opportunity to do it. So this is a special moment, a significant moment in Zechariah's life. Can you imagine entering the temple, looking from outside, and suddenly you're inside? All the other time of the year, 50 weeks of the year, he's in the hills of Judea. But this day, he's inside the temple of God. He's lighting incense. He's connecting with God. He's praying faithfully as he's done all these years. He's interceding for the people of Israel on behalf of the people. And God answers. God answers and Gabriel appears. One who stands in the presence of God appears. Now that deserves the A word. What's the A word? Amen. Awesome. And amen. Oh, I leave for 5 years, Terence, and it's a slippery slope down, isn't it, fella? Don't tell me you've given up dancing as well. Oh, dear. Isn't that awesome? I had to get the awesome word in there. The one who stands in the presence of God, the mighty Gabriel, is there delivering this message. It's an amazing thought and an amazing vision. Remember, he belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, whose name in Hebrew means Yahweh is my father. God is my father. What a name for that particular division. The name Zechariah means God remembers. Well, his father God remembers him and remembers Elizabeth. The elderly couple are going to have a son. They will have a future. They will emerge from the shadows into his glorious light. A phenomenal truth. But Zechariah is worn down. He's worn down by experience. Years of serving in a priestly division called Father, a reminder to him that he is fatherless. Despite his prayers, and despite his name meaning God remembers, it seems actually God has forgotten him, and God has forgotten his wife Elizabeth. So no wonder he says, how can I be sure of this? How can I believe this? I'm an old man, and my wife is old. How is she going to give birth at this age? I think she says she's well on in years, yeah? Subtle. Don't say she's old, just she's well on in years, so very wise even at that point. But he struggles to believe, even with an angel standing in front of him. Maybe you can relate to Zechariah. Maybe there's something about his story you can relate to. Maybe you've been praying faithfully, believing faithfully, but things are unchanging. You're struggling to believe. Struggling to believe that your children will ever come to faith or return to faith. Struggling with your health, struggling with things not working out the way that you want. You know, one of the most testing times in the Christian walk is the gap between offered prayer and answered prayer. You know the gap? We're really excited to pray, and the longer it goes on, and that prayer's not answered, the longer the gap goes on, we start to wobble, we start to doubt, we don't tell our friends, we don't tell our church family, but sometimes we begin to wobble and we begin to doubt. Maybe you look at others and say, God does it for them. He remembers them, he sees them, but I'm not significant enough because he doesn't seem to do it for me. Maybe you've prayed so much for something and quite frankly you are tired because nothing seems to change. Maybe you haven't experienced God's presence or he hasn't answered the prayer the way you would like. Some of you here, even if others don't know, you've given up praying because you've prayed for so long and it hasn't happened. I wonder how many times Elizabeth and Zechariah were on their knees praying for a child. One thing is sure, they gave up praying a long time ago. This prayer about a child was off their agenda for a long time. I don't know how many times they prayed, but at this season, they'd given up praying. It was too late. Some of you probably feel exactly the same. But God is a gracious God. He is a gracious God. Do you know that? He doesn't move based on our level of faith, but by his faithfulness. It's not our faith that moves him, but his faithfulness to us. And so often we put this yoke, I haven't prayed enough. Or I read that book on 10 steps to life transformational prayer and I must have missed one or two because nothing's happening. I don't pray well enough, I don't pray often enough. I'm not holy enough. In some way I have an unconfessed sin, so surely God is withholding a blessing. God moving is not based on your faith or your faithfulness, but on His. It's not even based on your performance. Maybe you failed. Well, failure isn't a person, failure is an event. We all fail. But you know what I love about the Bible? God's grace. How many lepers were there? How many were healed? How many said thanks? Did Jesus know anyone was going to say thanks? Why did He heal 10 of them? Would you, if you knew, only one of them's going to come back? He knew, but He still blessed. The criminal on the cross, a life walking away from God. But the minute he turns to Jesus, what does Jesus say? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Not based on your performance or your goodness, but my gracious gift. God is like that. He moves because He moves. Zechariah wobbled. Did God not deliver? He did. When Zechariah lacked faith, did God deliver? Yes, He did. When Abraham and Sarah lacked faith, when they engineered and Ishmael came, all that happened, did God not deliver? He still delivered. That's what God is like. He still delivers even when we wobble, even when we get it wrong, even when we lack faith. He still responds. He responds out of His goodness, His grace, His faithfulness, not yours and not mine. Isn't that an amazing truth about our gracious God? Grace means undeserved. He moves and it's undeserved on our part. And that's an encouragement. Even in the waiting, He is still working. Even in the waiting. Zechariah and Elizabeth learned that even in the waiting, God was still working. Some of you need to hold on to that. It's not based on your performance or your goodness or your holiness, but His. That's the God we follow. That's why we follow Him. But it does take an interesting turn. It does take an interesting turn for both Zach and Liz, an interesting development. Because Gabriel does explain in verse 19, he does say, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you the good news. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time. You've got a feel for Gabriel. I think he must have looked pretty awesome. You turn up in your best gear, and someone goes, oh, thanks for that. I'm just not quite sure if I believe. I'm Gabriel. What are you talking about? But it's an interesting thing. He says, at the appointed time. You know, there is an appointed time for everything. There is an appointed time. You know, even good things, if given at the wrong time, end up being bad. If you're not ready for that child, or ready for that promotion, or ready for that relationship, even if you're going to get it, even if it's good, if it's given at the wrong time, it can end up with bad consequences. And we have to trust God with the appointed time. So He is silenced until the appointed time. And all the women in the house said, Alleluia and Amen. So, can you imagine if you could do that to your husbands? Silence till the appointed time. 9 months. Elizabeth got the last word for 9 months. Oh, we're doing this today, aren't we, Dip? For 9 months. Maybe you want to send your husband away just for a week. I do know a good silent retreat at Lee Abbey, so at least you can have a week away from them if you need them. But about the appointed time. But seriously, this is a gift to Zechariah. It's a gift because God allows him to journey from unbelief to faith over 9 months of silence. He journeys with God. He reflects. He contemplates. He walks with the Lord. Rather than speaking, it's His time to listen, to meditate. God doesn't want His doubting words to be heard by His wife. So He silences him. He stills his tongue. What a blessing in our society, in our world, if people listened more than they spoke. How many marriages would be saved? How many broken lives not broken? How many wars avoided? If only we would weigh our words before we weigh in with our words. How different would this world be if we just listened far more to what someone was actually saying rather than jumping to what we think the solution is. So Zechariah is blessed by his tongue being stilled so he can listen to God. It's a gift to Zechariah. You know, this Advent time, some of you, God's calling you, spend quiet time with me. Don't just tell me your plans, listen to my plans for you. You know, sometimes we need to get our face out of Facebook and into his book. All the distractions, they're not the bad stuff that get in the way. Sometimes it's just distractions. Unless you say, I'm going to actually spend some time in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to read, I'm going to pray. Whatever it is to suit your personality, it will take effort and energy. But if you'll walk with him and you'll spend time with him, he will speak to you and he will speak through you. He's inviting some of you to do that this Advent. He says, come to me, walk with me, listen to me, journey with me, and listen to what I have to say. That's what Advent promises, that hope of being with him. That's his journey from unbelief to faith. But don't you love Elizabeth? She's a woman, she got it quick. I love this, her response. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he's shown me favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Straight away, she's filled with joy and faith. God's seen her, he's heard her. She knows a personal touch from a personal Savior, a personal God. Do you know we follow a personal God who wants to be intimate? Christmas, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Why did he become flesh? He could have directed it from glory. Because he wanted to dwell among us. He wanted to be in proximity. He wanted to be intimate. The Word became flesh. He wants to be close to you. Zechariah had time to listen. And you know what? When you listen to God and you journey with God, what he does and how he responds is what we can experience. Listen to this. This is the result of him journeying with God. Go on to Luke 1:76. It says this. He's speaking over his son. What words for a father to speak. And to you I prophesy. This is the Passion Translation. To you I prophesy, my little son. You'll be known as the prophet of the Most High. You will be a forerunner going before the face of Lord Yahweh to prepare hearts to embrace his ways. You will preach to his people the revelation of salvation, the cancellation of all sins to bring us back to God. The splendor light of heaven's glorious sunrise is about to break us in a holy visitation. All because the merciful heart of our God is so very tender. The word from heaven will come to us with dazzling light to shine upon those who live in darkness, near death's dark shadow, and he will illuminate the path that leads to the way of peace. Wow! What a prophecy. A prophecy that shatters the darkness in his and Elizabeth's life, lights up their life, but also lights up all of creation. What a journey to move through. What an inspirational story for us to be encouraged to journey like him and Elizabeth this Advent. So, as we kind of bring this in to land a bit now and just sign it off, what Elizabeth and Zechariah learned, that even in the waiting, God is still working. But there is an appointed time for all things. And the more you journey, the more you trust in his appointed time. Do you know you can't muck up his plans? You're just not good enough to do it, or bad enough. Psalm 139, all the days ordained for you were written in his book before one of them came to pass. Before. That means he'd already planned it all out, so too late for you to muck it up. And often we think, I've mucked it up, I've got it wrong. You cannot muck up the plans of a sovereign God. He knows the end from the beginning. So rest assured in that. There is an appointed time and he will bring about his purposes. If he wants to do something, he will. There's some of you here I know that have been through a tough journey. God has not forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten this church. He has remembered. He remembered Elizabeth and Zechariah and he remembers you. And whatever you're waiting for, hoping for, longing for, dreaming for, do you know he is with you? Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. He walks with you. We're entering Advent now. Have a look up at the sky on a clear night. What do you see filling the sky? Stars. Abraham looked at the stars in moments of doubt and realized he'd be the father of many nations. Looking up at the stars. If you look up at the stars, why not remind yourself of this scripture, Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens this Advent. Who created all these stars? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each one of them by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Not one of them is missing. God doesn't miss a single star. Every star he knows by name. If he knows every star and never misses a single star, look how many there are. Do you think he'll miss you? He will never miss you. He remembers you and he knows you by name. Look up this Advent journey and take hope from the stars. If he doesn't miss them, he will not ever miss you. Some of you I know have given up praying, given up opening the Bible. Maybe you're struggling with the routine of church. Maybe you've given up on God. But you know what? He hasn't given up on you. His blessings are never based on your goodness, on your performance. It's based on his goodness, his performance, his faithfulness. Stop condemning and beating yourself up. He came because he knew you needed him. It's okay to struggle. Zechariah doubted, but God blessed. Abraham and Sarah doubted, but God blessed. Peter denied Christ 3 times, but still was blessed. And he will do the same for each one of you. You know, I mentioned the gap early on about between offered and answered prayer. Often we know where we want to be. You know where you want to be? This is what I want to be like. And all you see is the gap. I'm not there yet. But sometimes we need just to turn around and say, I may not be there yet, but look where I've come from. And if God's got me this far somehow, then I've got enough faith to believe he's going to take me all the way. And as the countdown comes to Christmas through Advent, look ahead as a sign that God is working. Jesus came and he will get you to where he needs you to go. If he's got you this far, he will get you all the way. That you will move from the shadows into his glorious light, like the Magi, like the shepherds, like Mary and Joseph, and even a childless couple called Elizabeth and Zechariah. Let's just pause for a moment, reflect, and then I'll lead us in a time of prayer. Lord, help each one of us journey with you and to you this Advent, Lord. May we sense your presence. Where there is darkness, may you shine your light. And as we walk with you, may we sense you, hear you, know you, be reassured by you on the journey. Lord, everyone here is different, and our journey to you and with you is different. You know each of us by name. Each of us uniquely. Lord, whatever it is each of us here need, this Advent journey to hope and with hope, Lord, be with us and guide us. Maybe if you do want that special touch, you know that you need something from the Lord, just put your hands out before you. He loves to bless his children. He came to bless his children. Just put your hands out and just receive, Lord. For each of us that have just put our hands out before us, Lord, we want something from you. Lord, may we receive something from you. The unique gift you have for each one of us. Your presence, your reassurance. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Holy Spirit, impart something in us. Change us, transform us. Out of the overflow that you pour into us, may we pour it out to others. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'll just finish with this. There's some probably listening online that may not have ever made that decision to walk with the Lord. And if you are online, maybe you're in this room, just ask him to be real to you. Make a decision that you're going to start a journey with Jesus. Just say, Jesus, be real. Be real. If you're listening online and you're in this area, come to this church, because this church knows Jesus Christ. If you're in the room, speak to one of the leaders here as well. But just pray that prayer. Lord, be real to me. I want to follow you. If that's you, take that first step, just between you and God. Others of you, you're wobbling. Maybe you've drifted. Just start the journey again. Start the journey again and make this Advent the start of your journey with Jesus again. And I know there's some of you here that you've kept walking and you faithfully walk season after season. Well, keep walking and tell others about Jesus Christ. Tell others about the Shepherd's Pantry. Tell others about what's happening in this church, in this community. Let others know about Jesus Christ, because everyone needs Jesus Christ. Everyone is in an advent of darkness until Jesus shines his light in each of our lives. Amen. Bless you.